Off the Ball, GAA.
It's still fairly raw to lose an All-Ireland final, but to not hit the levels that we had had all year and the biggest day of the year was probably the hardest thing to take.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I remember now we're saying a very good morning to John Russell, the Sligo Rovers manager. John, good morning to you. How are you?
Sure, Nathan. Good morning.
We were just chatting there. What do you do when you've got a midfield two who are going to be overrun over the course of the season, but your third one is Florian Wirtz or whoever the hell else? What? How do you make up for a lack of numbers in midfield?
Oh, when you're dealing with top players, yeah, you've got to come up with different solutions. And in terms of the question there again,
well, just like you have a midfield two who are excellent, but actually they're used to playing in a three, and suddenly the third person that you're picking alongside them, well, he's not really a defensive minded kind of character. I suppose it's a question about balance and finding balance in your team. Did we lose you, John?
Yeah.
Oh, we just hung up. There you go.
It's going to be really interesting how this develops for Liverpool over the course of the season. And maybe they've stumbled onto the answer with Szoboszlai at right back.
Yeah.
And again, like Liverpool in the second half were outstanding, and the range of passing and the quality of passing from him from that position. I do wonder long term whether they'll go back to the three, and that obviously Salah's going to be gone for a chunk of this season to the African Cup of Nations. You know, do they let Salah potentially go at the end of this season and you go with the front two? You play Wirtz in behind and you go back to your midfield three of last season again, and you don't have Salah on the right-hand side or Gakpo on the left-hand side, and you dramatically change it, if you can get more dramatic than what he's done already over the course of the summer.
Yeah. If you want to get in touch this afternoon, or this morning rather, 087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number. And a reminder, of course, different day, different vibe. Whether you're chasing sunrises or hitting snooze, there's an iced coffee to match. Find your morning match at Braeburn Coffee, only available at Apple Green. We will get back to John Russell in just a moment. We're just setting him up there. Sligo had a good transfer window.
Yeah, they went heavy and it looks as though it's done the job. Obviously, there's a risk of dramatically overhauling your side, but they were in a position, I suppose, where they probably had to take a few risks. They had that win against Cork a few weeks ago that gave them a bit of breathing space. And listen, I think the fact that they've hauled Galway United into the mix for the playoff, they're level on points at the moment. They're only 4 points behind Waterford. I suspect whichever of those teams ends up in the playoff will have enough to ultimately go and win it. I think the full-time setup, the physical strength of these sides mean that they'll be all right. So unless Cork do something absolutely miraculous, Sligo will be just fine. And they're in a cup quarter final. You know, playing Kerry, remember, cup win this year gets you Europa League. So you do have a fallback option, so it's an absolutely huge carrot on top of everything else. Though, I know there's a lot of talk around Shamrock Rovers of a double, the one thing that's been missing from all of this success. So, see how it works.
Now, they obviously will have the distraction of the group stages too at the same time, so it will be asking a lot for... we do have John Russell back with us. John, you're back.
Sorry, lads, yeah. I'm just in Brafey House Hotel here, moving rooms.
No worries. Look, let's talk about Sligo. We were just saying there that obviously your own transfer window was incredibly busy. I know when we talked to you earlier in the season, you'd actually hoped to have brought a few more in, but you eventually were able to get the business done at the end. Just talk to us a bit about what that process is actually like for you and how tricky it is to get the right players at the right time of the season.
Yeah, it's always a tricky window in the summer because at Sligo we like to bring in loans, and when you're bringing them in from England, you've only got about 10 or 11 games left. So that can be a tricky one because the players are looking and saying, well, the season finishes in November. And then if you go back to our parent clubs, you've no football then for November, December, and you can't play till January. I managed to do two loans within the league, which was really positive for us because you've got players who know the league and have something to prove. So James McManus and Ryan O'Kane came in, which were brilliant additions, and two young players that I suppose a point to prove, and players I would have admired for a long time. So they were key ones for us in the window. And the challenge for me at the time as well was that obviously we were bottom of the league at the mid-season break. We hadn't had a good start to the season. And there's, I suppose, a couple of factors with that. But ultimately, you need good players coming in. And when they're speaking to players to bring them to the club, I suppose they're looking at the league table and saying, well, you're bottom, and you know, you have to sell the project and explain what you're trying to do. And luckily Luff was able to bring some top players in, like Patrick McLean, and he was a big one. We needed that experience at the back, and as the window went through in July and we were picking up results, some of the other players I was speaking to, I think they could see the momentum growing, and thankfully we've managed to bring in seven players, and they've all made a big impact.
When the table was the way it was after the kind of first quarter, first third, up to that midway point, did you have a sense that actually things were, the results weren't, not to go back to Jim Gavin here, but the results weren't actually reflective of the quality of performances you were putting in? Because there were definitely various stages where you were on the wrong side a couple of weeks in a row of red cards that definitely had impacts on games. Did that give you a little bit of confidence that it's okay, this is going to be fine, this is just a sticky patch?
Yeah, I think experience has told me that, you know, you just stay calm in these moments. And I suppose I'm in the job 3 years now, and there's probably a trend there at Sligo where at the end of a season, your best players get taken off you, and there's a big turnover of players. Like, you're bringing in 9 or 10 new players each season, so it takes that first half of the season to get people gelled in. And there's different factors. Yeah, there's red cards, players probably getting up to speed, and some results go away from me. I think there was some games at the start as well where we were in the game for 60-70 minutes and then we'd take a couple of players out because they weren't fully match fit, or we didn't have the strength and depth to make the changes, and we were bringing in players from the academy and maybe playing out position, and all of a sudden you lose the game. So I was very calm, and I've got good staff around me, like my assistant manager Ryan Casey. He's been with me since the start, and you know, we'd always go back to our reference point of our style and how we play, and, you know, is it about how we're playing, the performance? Like, once we see the signs that are there, we know it'll click and it'll come. And thankfully now we're in a good reign of form, or we've got wins on the board, but there's still 7 games to go and we need to pick up a lot of points to get ourselves out of the position that we're in.
So you mentioned the sales pitch during the transfer window. Is it mainly built around style of football, and there'll be an opportunity for players when they come to express themselves?
Yeah, that's a big part of it, because we don't offer the big wages. I suppose you put value on playing first team football and playing to your strengths. I'm a big believer in that, getting players to play to their strengths and play with confidence. And I think our style, we're a very attack minded team. We play on the front foot. You know, we don't show any fear against anyone, whether playing Shamrock Rovers away or Bohemians at home. It doesn't matter. We want to try and win the game, and we're very progressive, and players like that. And I think it's the best form as well for players to, as I said, show their strengths and potentially get moves to higher levels, which we've shown over the last number of years. But ultimately, you want to win. It's not gung-ho and reckless. You still have to have a, you know, we have a style and a structure, but defensively, you need to be solid. And I think the players that we've brought in, as I mentioned, Patrick McLean, Ollie Denham was out injured for a big part of the season. He's back as well. And yeah, I think Sam Sargent, his form over the last number of weeks as well, I think he's shown he's a top keeper. So it's all encompassing, I think.
Do you ever have any doubts around that style and that attacking style? I'm thinking back particularly to those first few weeks of the season when, again, people would look at Sligo and look at you as an up-and-coming manager and talk about you potentially, you know, when the jobs, some of the top jobs in Dublin might come up, that you'd certainly be in the mix because of how well your teams play. But then, you know, you can see the load of goals in those first few games of the season, and suddenly, you know, naivety is thrown out. How do you get that balance?
Yeah, well, I said it goes back to being objective and looking at the game and looking at the moments and the goals you concede, and we do an awful lot of analysis. And I think a lot of the games at the start of the season, I probably signed a few players that were out of football for a long time. I brought in Matty Wolfe from Barnsley. He was out for 2 years with a horrific injury, and Ronan Manning was out for over a year with Galway. And I have to take a couple of gambles with the resources and the budget I have, and I want to sign good players that can play a certain brand of football, but they probably weren't fully match fit. And you know, John Mahan, again, he was out for a year with his Achilles the previous season. So all these guys at the start of the year, you're signing players during pre-season, and then they're trying to get used to each other. So we shipped up a lot of goals at the start, and a lot of individual errors, mistakes. I think that was just down to match sharpness, match practice, as well as gelling in a new group. So it wasn't that we were getting cut open, and as a team, I was worried about our structure, our shape. And I think that's proven the case as the season's gone on. We've got stronger and we look a lot more solid. So yeah, you have to stay calm in those moments and understand what you're trying to do. And as I said, I've been in the job 3 years now, and there's been a bit of a trend at the start of the year. I'd love to get to a stage where we've got a core group of players finishing a season and moving into the off season and pre season, and then you're only adding maybe 3-4 players to strengthen you. I think that's proven over the number of years in the league, when you can be successful as having a core group and only adding a few players at the end of the season.
So how do you get to that point? Because chatting to you over the last while, it's clear that you actually seem to really enjoy the business side of it. It's a challenge, it's a puzzle to be solved. That's going to result in the football being better. So it means you're always on. It means your brain is always working about that kind of thing. But how do you get to that point from a financial perspective where the club is signing players on slightly longer term deals?
Yeah, I've tried to do that this season. We have a few on a 2-year contract now, the likes of Will Fitzgerald, Jad Akiki, the guys you brought in the summer window there, Sean Stewart, Patrick McLean, Seb Quirk. So Sam Sargent just signed the new deal, so we're slowly getting to that point now where hopefully have a core group. Obviously Owen Elding signed a new deal in pre-season. There's huge interest in him, so I'm sure he won't be here too long. But we did our business well, and you know, I spoke to the club and said that I feel that he's going to take off this season, and we got him on a long-term deal with no buyout in January, which has definitely been a big statement from the club. Because when you talk about how do we compete, I think we've got to get to the stage where we're selling our best players for good money. We sold a hell of a lot in the last 3 years, but haven't got the fees we probably deserved. So I think if we can get to that point of getting big transfer fees while we're waiting for the stadium to be built, because I think everyone understands the model we have at Sligo, but we're still ambitious and we want to compete. And I think the Cup is a real opportunity this season as well, because of the Europa Conference League and the Europa League, but both competitions come into play if you win the Cup, and obviously we're still in the Cup, so that's a real target for us.
What did you see in Owen Elding that, well, it's borne out, that suggested he was going to be one of the top talents maybe to come out of the league in a long, long time?
Yeah, I think he's been around the group for 18 months, and last season he played, I think, over about 20 games, but a lot of them were off the bench, and he was unlucky not to score. But we see him day to day, and he's an unbelievable finisher, and he is an incredible talent. And I suppose seeing how he came back after the off season and how he trained and performed in the pre-season games, he was just the progression in terms of his physical development. We always knew he was a brilliant finisher, and his movement is top class. Even from as a young kid, you could see that. But physically, he was performing in the games, and I felt that this season was going to be the one for him to take off, and playing him off the right side, being a left footer, coming in and creating chances, scoring goals. He's proven that, and now he's playing more central. I think he'd probably end up as a number nine, similar to probably his dad. And I think that's a big thing from, you know, his dad was a former professional, and, you know, Anthony and his mom Laura, like, they're really good influence on him. And you can see he's such a good kid outside of his talent, like his mentality and work ethic around the training ground, those extras. And that's a good thing for other young players to see, because it's not a thing of you've got talent, you need to put in the hard work. And he's doing that, and he's getting the rewards.
In previous years, players of that talent would be going for whatever the buyout clause was, or for, you know, much lower fees than we're starting to see the players go for. Obviously, we saw just recently with Mason and Victor, the proper money is being spent. Are people already calling about them? Have you already started to field those calls?
Oh, yeah, that's been going on for weeks. I suppose I was happy man last night that the UK window was closed. But I think for Owen and for his family and his representatives, I think they were keen to keep him with Sligo to the end of the season, you know, to have that full season under his belt where he's getting his stats up, his numbers. I mean, it's incredible the distance he's covering. You know, he's over 12k a game, his high speed running, outside of his goals and assists, you know, his work ethic, as mentioned, it's top class. But for him and for clubs, prospective clubs, to see him play for a full season, and I'd love to see him get the accolades at the end of the year, like young player of the year, team of the year, hopefully top goal scorer. I know he's two off it at the moment, but they're all important for young players and as part of their development and growth, that, you know, they're getting that. And there's no doubt he's going to go and play at a really high level, but it's always important to be calm and pick the right club, because you see time and time again players will go and they can be promised the sun, moon, the stars, but all of a sudden you can be chucked out on loan and you can get lost in the system.
I suppose that's another aspect of when you're talking about attracting players. It's great to be able to attract players from other clubs, but it's also great for the players at the club to think that they can stay with Sligo, sign a long-term deal and represent the group and the town and have a career further on from that. So it kind of feels like you're in a bit of a sweet spot here at the moment with being able to tell that story to people.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's probably something I've learned as well over the course of the 3 years, is, you know, what we are, and I'm ambitious and I want to try and win the league, but, you know, you have to look at the resources over the last number of years with the clubs and all the multi-club ownership. You know, Waterford are owned by Fleetwood, and now the Trevella Group own Drogheda, and there's more and more money and finance coming into the league, and it's brilliant, and everything's getting better and stronger. And but for us at Sligo, we have to understand, well, what are we and what are we trying to do? And for me, it's trying to recruit young, hungry players that need that platform and that time to develop. And, you know, when you're signing young players, they're going to make mistakes and they'll have a game or two where they mightn't play well, but they've got the trust of the manager that they're going to play the next game. And you've seen that this year with a couple of our players. Obviously, Jad Akiki's come in and he's doing really well, but there was a point in the season where we had to take him out and then put him back in and manage him, and he's flying at the moment. So I think young players can see that when they come to Sligo, they get that opportunity and that platform, and as I mentioned, to play a good brand of football and hopefully move on to bigger and better things. And I suppose that's the blessing and the curse for me at the moment, because you've got good players, but then you lose them, and then you've got to go again and replace these guys. But I suppose that's the model that we have right now.
And how do you keep the hunger for that going? Because it is difficult where you spend a lot of emotional energy investing in players, and then everything goes really well and then they're playing for somebody else.
Yeah, it can be draining, as you mentioned there, because the work, time and effort you put into, but number one, trying to keep players when other clubs are after them. You know, last year we did really good end of the season, and I think 7 or 8 of our starting team left at the end of the season. But even throwing out that off season, they were still contemplating staying because they really liked it at Sligo, they enjoyed it. You're pushing that all the time, but then in the background you're speaking to other players and trying to get them to come in. So yeah, it's there's a lot of work goes into that, and as I mentioned, I'd love to get to the point where I'm keeping a core group of players together, and that comes down to tying them down long-term deals, maybe pushing the boat out in terms of wages and trying to compete with the other clubs and finding other revenue streams. But if we can get to that point, which I think slowly we are, like this season, as I mentioned, two-year deals for certain players, hopefully that'll help us and they won't have a manic off-season again.
When you're talking to those young players, and maybe Owen Elding is the prime example, because I think he grew up with Johnny Kenny. Like, Johnny Kenny is such a great example of what you can achieve, and I'm sure you have a lot of pride this week when you hear the news yesterday that he's called into the Irish squad for the first time. Was it always going to be this way for Johnny Kenny?
Yeah, I really do. Thought he was going to be a senior international. So thrilled for him to get this call up, because you speak about young players coming through Sligo, like, he was incredible when he came in and you know, got his move to Celtic. And I know people look at it now and say, oh, he deserves it, he's doing brilliant, but what he's come through as well in such a short space of time, people forget, like, he had a loan, I think it was Queen's Park in Scotland, where it didn't really happen from, and even his first loan at Shamrock Rovers, there was you know, a bit of noise from the fans that he wasn't producing, and it was probably the second season where he's come back, so he's had a lot to deal with. And that resilience that you build up and those moments, you know, I think Johnny's 21 now and he's gone through a hell of a lot, but what he produced in his last stint at Shamrock Rovers in terms of top goals for the Conference League and having that confidence to go back to Celtic, score and get new contracts, I'm absolutely delighted, because the work that he's put in and knowing the kid and the family, you know, it's a proud moment for them and for the people of Sligo. It's not often you see local kids being called into the senior international team.
Yeah, like, it's not something you'd put in the sales pitch, but, like, as you say, he's only 21 and all of those experiences that he's had in comparison to other 21-year-olds who've come through an academy system in England and have had the best of everything all the way through, like, it should stand to him. You hope it does stand to him, but in a way, how can it not?
Yeah, I think it will, and that's why our league is such a good platform for young players, because number one, you get the first team football, but it does prepare you to go into that first team environment, because when you go to the academies at a young age, or the under 21s, it can be a bit false, and you have to deal with, you know, not performing well, and fans on your back, and the social media. Obviously, you know, we didn't have this when we were growing up and playing, but you know, it's relentless for these kids, and they have to deal with, you know, one bad game or two bad games, and everyone's coming after you. So, you know, to handle that when they're playing in our league, it really stands them in good stead. And that's why I think for the likes of Owen Eldy now, what he's going through this season, obviously everything's going really well for him, but last season, as I mentioned, he was playing and missed a couple of chances, and he was probably doubting himself, going, oh, I feel I'm good enough, but I'm not scoring goals. But now he's worked hard and continued to do the right things, and he's getting the rewards now, and it'll be important for him, for his, as I mentioned, when he goes to the next club and moves on, that he's given that platform and he can continue his development and growth. Because Johnny now at the moment is probably in that situation where at Celtic, he's got a couple of opportunities, but he'd probably want to play every week and showcase his abilities to become a mainstay in the Irish senior team.
You've sort of outlined there at Sligo that you become used to the close season and players leaving, and you have your sales pitch to try and keep them, but ultimately some players are just going to want to go. When that happens mid-season, as has happened this year with Conor Malley, and there was obviously a lot of speculation before the season that Shamrock Rovers were very interested and bids were put in, but you managed to convince them to stay. What happened that, say, that night in Tala, you know, he's not in the squad, and ultimately now he's a Shamrock Rovers player. Can you talk about the last few months, and I don't know whether you have any regrets in not letting him go at the start of the season, or whether you do things differently, or how it all played out?
Yeah, look, no regrets in terms of what we tried to do. I think it was well documented. Shamrock Rovers and Shells were bidding from in the off season, and that was off the back of him having an outstanding season with us. But Conor was under contract. I think I'd lost, as I mentioned, 7 or 8 in my starting 11, and I built a team around Conor in 2024. So that was the key for me. And I sat down with him and his agent in the off season and explained that I think if Conor stays and continues to progress with us, he'll get a move at a higher level back to England, and unfortunately he just didn't perform to the levels he did the previous year. And as you know, mentioned at the start of the call here, like at the mid-season break we were bottom of the league, and I had to make changes, and obviously Conor wasn't playing at that time, and we did lose other players, like Conor and essentially moved on to Shamrock Rovers, but we also lost Jay Doyle Hayes in the window, Reese Hutchinson. You know, we sold both those players which were in the team and playing really well. So essentially I lost 3 or 4 of our top players in July. But you look at the results since then, we've picked up and we're doing really well now.
Would you like to manage in England at some point?
I'd love to manage the highest level. I know different to any of the players I'm working with at the moment. You want to test yourself, and you know, I'm getting brilliant experience at the moment, and Sligo has been an incredible club for me because I'm a young manager, and there was definitely people calling from my head probably 12, 18 months into the job. You know, I was under a lot of pressure and they showed a lot of faith in me. I think they could see the work that was going on in the background, and I think what was good probably this year was the AGM results. I think people, the supporter base, kind of the expectations, they realised what the challenges are with the job and what you're trying to do when you're losing your best players, and we don't have the money to bring in top players or keep our players. So it's a challenging job, but for me, getting brilliant experience, and yeah, of course I'd love to try and manage at the highest level.
Because it does feel like over the next couple of years, when the stadium work starts, obviously it'll be difficult while it's happening, but when it's finished, there's going to be a facility that's going to allow the club to generate revenue, hopefully become as self-financing as possible. You add into that, like Sligo, I guess, are one of the clubs that will be relatively well suited when the academy funding does eventually come through. This is a big assumption from the government, but all the mood music is trending in the right direction. So it kind of feels like you've done all the foundational work for what's going to come next, which could be very special.
Yeah, there's special times ahead. I think if we get this funding from the government and if our stadium gets built, you know, the centenary year will be 2028, and I feel like we're understanding what we're about now in terms of trying to attract the best young talent bring in players that potentially been released from bigger clubs, maybe abroad, that need that platform again to reset and play a good brand of football. And I probably look for inspiration, maybe when I was growing up, and you look at the Ajax team of 95-96, and I remember showing a picture of them to our group this year when we were playing away from home in one of the presentations in the hotel. And I suppose it went over a lot of their heads because they're all born in 2000. But that Ajax team went on to win the Champions League. And that was a big thing for me watching football. You know, there were guys who came up through the academy, you know, Seedorf and Kluivert and all these guys, and went on to play for big clubs around Europe. But they showed that you could compete by, you know, playing a good style of football and guys that understood the club. And that's what we have. It's like we've promoted from within the academy. You know, Johnny Kenny's come through the academy, John Mahan, Niall Moore and Ed McGinty, obviously Owen Elling at the moment. And we've given out contracts recently to Conor Reynolds and Garrett McElroy and all these guys. So this is what we're about, and hopefully we can build on that and things can be exciting in the future.
Imagine what you could do with a bit of funding for the academy.
Oh, it'd be amazing, not just for Sligo, but for the whole country. And there's that report that was brought out recently. It's brilliant to see that that's happening, because at least that gives everyone a good insight into how far we are behind other nations. And I know I did the license to be head of academy, the UEFA Elite AU license. I was on the first course. I think it was back in 2016 or 17, and at the time doing a lot of study and looking at other countries. And you see what the English FA have done over the last 10, 15 years, the Belgian FA. We've got the coaches and the people in the country. It's just the finances to put people in place and improve the infrastructure and the contact hours. We know what to do. It's just getting the finance to do it. And you see what's been done in the League of Ireland right now with teams qualifying for group stages, and that's without any support. Imagine what if we actually got the backing.
We can't let you go without asking you about Ollie Horgan. The funeral was yesterday. By all accounts, the entire league showed up.
Yeah, look, devastating news. Like, such a young man, you know, 57 years of age, but a real character in the league. And it's brilliant, the tributes that have come his way the last number of days. But so sad, like, because he's such a loss. I think I mentioned in my own pre-match comments and interview before the game, the last day, he had such an influence in Irish football because he was involved with all the Irish school teams, and you know, with the job he did at Finn Harps was incredible. You know, he would have had the shoestring budget and trying to get players up to Finn Harps, but was really driving that club and you know, I suppose rejuvenating players' careers as well and giving them opportunities there. And he's such a character, like, on the sideline, you know, when you're managing against him, and he was so passionate, and he kept the officials on their toes throughout the game. You know, he was all in, but then he'd shake your hand afterwards, and did a really good job with John down in Galway. And I think a funny story I heard last year when they were playing, we'd have breaks for the international window, and you'd be playing friendlies. I think they played the Mayo 21s, and I think they won the game 4-0, but both John and Ollie were sent off. And when you hear these stories, you have to laugh, like, you know what I mean? It's only a friendly, they win the game, but the two lads so passionate, like, they end up getting themselves sent off. But that was Ollie. He was a brilliant character.
As a manager, did you nearly need to assign one of the backroom staff to mark Ollie during the game?
No, you just had to watch him and sit back, because it was he was brilliant on the sideline. He was so animated, and I suppose it was trying to get my staff to stop winding him up. Maybe that was probably the challenge for me.
John, best of luck with the rest of the season. It's always great to chat to you. Thanks a million for making the time for us.
Cheers, guys. Thank you. All the best.
John Russell Leds.
Off the ball. GAA.
It's still fairly raw to lose an All-Ireland final, but to not hit the levels that we had had all year and the biggest day of the year was probably the hardest thing to take.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.